Anything combat with Johnny K.
It's anything combat, though.
Welcome back, combatants, to the Anything Combat Show. I'm your host, Johnny K. Today, we've got on WBC Muay Thai Cruiserweight World Champ. He's a three-time champ. He also won the WMC belt. He's coming off Karate Combat Knockout. Please welcome to the show, Jaden Enord. How you doing, Jaden?
What's up, brother? I'm doing real well. How you?
I'm good. So, Karate Combat, bro, that's a different thing for you, seeing that, you know, you've done Muay Thai, you've done kickboxing. Karate Combat's a different kind of skill set and also just a promotion in general. So what do you want to say to the ref that kind of saved your opponent from getting hammer fist?
Fuck, man, that is what you call a good ref, you know. A lot of people are like, why did the ref push you and all that kind of stuff? But as fighters, sometimes we get caught up in the moment. You know, my thought process is, hey, if he could possibly get back up, what happens if he recovers, he gets back up and then he beats me? And as fighters, we're caught in the moment, we're trained, and we don't want to even take that risk. So we'll just jump straight in. And, you know, he obviously stopped that, which was perfect. You know, that's good reffing, so good on him.
How much do you think during the fight, seeing that from what you said just then, that you had a clear vision, clear thought process of what you wanted to do? So how often are you thinking in the fight?
You are thinking in the moment, but at the same time, a lot of the stuff is just, it's drilled, it's reaction, it's muscle memory, and it's on automatic. You're listening to the corner for instructions. You're listening to the crowd for motivation. You're going through your training. You're watching using your eyes. So there's kind of a lot going on, and you kind of just let it flow at the same time.
Jaden, you don't really look like you took too much damage at all in that fight. So how are you feeling, and when did you get back into the gym, and when do you think you'll fight again?
So usually I'll only have 3 or 4 days off training, and then I'll get straight back into it. But for this one, you know, I had 1 week off training, 1 week light training, and then straight back to it. It was the end of the year for me. So, you know, I worked and trained all October, November, December, fought in Russia in October, and then straight back to camp, and then, you know, training most of December. So I kind of had to give myself a little bit of a break, a little bit of a rest, reset the body, and have a week or two off, and then straight back into it.
Mate, from your skill level, you're kind of, well, I've seen it, you've been improving, and specifically with that Russian fighter, everyone thought that you had won that fight because it was a split decision. Plus, there was the controversy with the fact that, you know, it's in his federation, and of course, they give the nod with combat sports. So do you feel like you would want to get that win back, or are you just happy with that was the performance people thought you won and just leave it at that?
No, like, it doesn't matter how good the performance is. At the end of the day, there's a winner and there's a loser. And, you know, I knew going into his country, into his, you know, federation, I had to knock him out, or I had to put on a very, very dominant performance. It wasn't a dominant performance. It was fairly obvious I won, but it wasn't enough to beat somebody in their hometown. So I would like that rematch, but it's not at the top of my list, you know. It was an awesome promotion. It was huge. Thousands of people there. We looked after pretty well. But I've got a lot of things I want to do, so I'm kind of not just putting all my eggs in one basket. I'm having a look at what options we've got, and I'm trying to take all of them, or if not, as many as we can. I definitely want the rematch, and I think it will come eventually, hopefully this year, but yeah, just waiting to hear back now. Obviously, most people thought I won, even the Russians thought I won, so that's enough for some people, but for me, it's not. I want to have my hand raised with him standing beside me, and yeah, that'll come soon.
One of your options, I didn't actually think that it was going to be an option, but Uriah Hall has kind of been running his mouth. And from his UFC career, you know, he's got all those devastating highlights and knockouts. But I personally think now that he's at his stage in his career and you're at your stage in your career, I feel like from a technical standpoint that technically you would be a better fighter, specifically in karate combat. So is that a fight that you want, seeing that he's been calling you out now?
Yeah, well, look, Uriah Hall, I don't really know too much about him. He's not one of the superstars of the UFC, but he's very well known. He's respected, and he's, you know, obviously had a pretty good career. I don't really know too much about him. It's definitely, he's been going through the comments section of Karate Combat for a few weeks or months now, desperately trying to throw fishing lines at whoever's going to take the bait. He's been calling me out in a few different posts, and I guess he's just desperately trying to get a fight. Maybe the UFC doesn't want him. Maybe he can't get a fight. Maybe he's broken, needs a payday. I don't know, but he's been trying. And this one, I guess it seemed to take the bait, so it's a thing now. Obviously, to be in the UFC, you're going to have to be good. Everyone in the UFC is good. Him included. He's pretty high level, but he's a bit older now. And especially in something like karate combat where it's mostly stand up and it's, you know, I have a background in wrestling, about 8 professional MMA fights as well, all finishes. So I think I'm going to have the advantage if that fight was to become a thing. We've got lots of options at the moment. We're putting all eggs in one basket, but it's a fight I would like. And I don't think it. I don't think he would have too much of a chance if he was to fight me, especially if it was a stand-up fight, you know. If it was going to be some kind of fight, I'm sure he'd be shooting for his life, trying to stay away from my punches, stay away from my kicks, trying to wrestle with me, trying to cuddle me, and I guess try and just add up points with takedowns or something. But I'll tell you what, Uriah Hall doesn't want to stand up with me. That's not a smart thing to do. Even if he was in his prime, he wouldn't want to stand up with me.
I saw your MMA career back in the day when you were a young guy. So now that you went off, did all the Muay Thai achievements, do you think we would ever see you in MMA fight again? Or do you feel like karate combat with a little bit of the ground and pound and stuff that they've got with their rule set is the closest we're going to see you in an MMA type thing?
I never close off options. I'm always open to different things. So never say never, right? But at the moment, it's Muay Thai, it's kickboxing. That's where the opportunities are. Karate combat's another huge thing that's just starting to come through. So I'm open to that as well. I like the fighting style. I like the gi pants. I like the small gloves. They're not traditional MMA gloves. I do like that. Maybe MMA down the track sometime, because I do like wrestling. I love jiu-jitsu. I love submissions. I love ground and pound. I love all that kind of stuff. But at the moment, it's kind of... Karate combat is not only, it's a big thing at the moment. It's just getting it, keep getting better. But it's almost like a gateway back to MMA, right? So you start with Muay Thai, kickboxing. That's what I've been at for the last few years. And then you go to karate combat. So it's, you incorporate the wrestling slowly and the ground and pound. And then you go to MMA, which then you go the full thing of the wrestling and everything. So it's kind of a gateway. So I guess it's, you know, karate combat could be a little bit of a stepping stone to get back to MMA. So never say never, but at the moment I'm set on Muay Thai kickboxing and karate combat, possibly MMA down the line, but it's not something I'm thinking about too much.
Jaden, with that being said, you know, the WMC and the WBC belt are really important for your career. The karate combat belt is still there. You know what I mean? You could be in a position to fight for that. I believe you were 90 kg for the karate combat fight that you just had. And I don't know if you would want to do it, but heavyweight, you know, there's Sam Alvey there, and he's a big name in karate combat right now. I think that would be a really good fight for you to go up to the heavyweight division and try and fight for that belt. If you were to do that, do you feel like karate combat's belt is prestigious?
It's a big belt. It's a prestigious belt, and, you know, it's only getting bigger every day. It's definitely something that I want. I don't know any karate combat fighters. It's something I've followed. It kind of just popped up. It's all new to me, so I'd have to go in and kind of research the fighters, the fighter that you mentioned as well. I'm open to all fights. It's another belt. I won the WMO world title, which I'm going to hopefully fight for in June. That's a Muay Thai world title, and that'll be in Australia. That would be at the Star Casino in June or July or more on the shore. So we're trying to get that fight locked in pretty soon. So that's a belt that I want. But that's kind of the last piece of the puzzle for Muay Thai. Then I've got all three world title belts. I've defended one. I'll be looking at defending another one in sometime this year overseas. So that's kind of where we're at with Muay Thai. Now, there's lots of other options in kickboxing. There's lots of options in karate combat. But Muay Thai is kind of, I've kind of put all the pieces of the puzzle together. And it's kind of, you can only go so far in Muay Thai. Now we're looking at bigger things.
The quality of combat sports, specifically with the belts, like I know you fought Paul Banasiak, who came on the show, the quality of fighters, you know, for Muay Thai, they're known, right? In karate combat, the name value of the guys, sometimes they're not as high. So I want to know from you, do you feel like the karate combat quality of the athletes is on that same
The quality in the way of...
And do you feel like if they have like a little bit more marketing, a little bit more time to produce, then people will realize how high level they are?
Mm. Well, the quality in terms of skill, 100%, they're on the same level. Like karate combat, Muay Thai, kickboxing, you know, we're talking about skill. they're on the same path. But when we're talking about reputation, not so much, because karate combat is a relatively new thing. It's only really just starting to become big now. And obviously Muay Thai has been a big thing for, you know, tens of years, hundreds of years. So people have been fighting for 5 or 10 years, have had 10 years to build their reputation. Whereas in karate combat hasn't been around for 10 or 20 years. They haven't had as long to build their reputation. Skill-wise, 100%. You know, they've got a lot of skillful fighters on par with Muay Thai kickboxing. But when we're talking about reputation, not as much, because we just haven't had that much time to build their reputations. So as it keeps growing over the next couple of years, it's growing rapidly, you know, because it's an exciting thing. You'll definitely see their profiles grow a lot more.
About reputation, you know how you just said with karate combat, it's going to take a little bit of time for them to get their reputation. You actually had a quote that I wrote down. You said that it took you 15 years for your life to finally get your reputation and finally get your credibility. So what were those years like for you? And what can you tell me about that whole period, the whole 15 years, and now, just now when you're at, I believe you're 30 years of age?
Three, all right.
I believe that, like, I feel like you had your start to your career and now you're getting the recognition that you deserve. So what was that like for you, finally getting that?
It was good. You know, it was a few years ago that I was 26, I won my first world title, and it kind of took off from there. But for the first 13 years of fighting and 15 years of training, there was really not a whole heap. It was local fights here and there. It was, you know, if I was in Thailand, then I'd fight, but I'd have to pay my own way to go to Thailand. For a long time, there was nothing. I often use a term that I came up with. I say success is like Bitcoin, right? For years, for 10 years, Bitcoin was just here doing nothing. And then overnight, boom, it shot up after many, many years of it, you know, being doubted by people and, you know, people trying to shut it down and it basically being ignored. It's the same as me. People trying to shut me down, people saying it's not going to work, people ignoring me and my career. And then all of a sudden, it just took off out of nowhere. And that's what happens. The same as Bitcoin, same as, you know, any type of endeavor. It's an endeavor, whether it's business, a relationship, you know, a fighting career, whatever it is. It takes, you have to build and build and build that over a long period of time, and then it takes off. And that's what a lot of people don't want to do. People don't want to spend the time that it takes to build their profile, to build their skills, simply because they come into fighting and they want to fight. They want the bright lights. They want the Instagram photos. They want the attention. They want the money, but they don't enjoy it. And because they don't enjoy it, they're concentrating too much on the fighting and the success, and they're not concentrating enough on, you know, the training and enjoying the journey of fighting and training. And it takes a long time. And for you to do something that hard for that long a time, you're going to have to enjoy it. Enjoy the process, not just the outcome.
100%. What was the hardest part about that journey for you? What do you think was the period where you had the most difficulty?
It's a hard question to answer because it was all I really had in my life. I didn't really know anything else. You know, when I was younger, I didn't go to parties and drinking alcohol and discovering women and dating and sex and drugs and all that kind of stuff. I never really did any of that. I never had that many friends. I never had girls or anything like that. All I had was training and fighting. And it was kind of just win, great, loss, great, win, loss, training, back to training, cut the weight. It was kind of all I really knew, but I always had that long-term vision. I want to become world champion. I want to be the best. And that's all I want to do.
How bad were those weight cuts for you? I know that with your dieting and stuff, you've actually gotten bigger throughout your career. And now, to be honest, you're fucking massive. So what are the weight cuts like now?
Weight cuts aren't really too bad. The weight cuts are maybe 3 or 4 days of diet and maybe 20 minutes in like a bit of a sweat out or like maybe 15 minutes in a sauna or something. I don't really cut too much weight now. Which, you know, is good, but I was cutting a lot of weight from very early on. Like I used to walk around 82 kilos and I used to fight at 65 when I was younger. So, you know, I was like a rake. I was stick thin because when I was 16, I was young, but I was fighting fully grown adults. They had a strength advantage, a weight advantage, a size advantage, an age maturity advantage. They had, you know, often they had more fights than me, so they had an experience advantage. I had nothing. They had all the attributes. So I thought, right, well, if I cut down 3 or 4 weight divisions, at least I'd have the size advantage. Because back then, there wasn't any kids to fight in MMA, especially when you're professional at 17. So that was kind of my theory. I cut so much weight just to get down and have at least that advantage over them. And that was hard. That was really, really hard. And then I got to about 18, 19, I just stopped cutting weight. I just said 2 or 3 kilos max. Then I guess after, again, after COVID, the only fights that I could get were at a lower weight division, again, cutting heaps of weight, got sick of it, and now back to just not really cutting much weight at all. I just don't think it's a healthy thing.
For those 15 years, from what we've been talking about now, it seems like you haven't really had kind of an easy part in your career. It's kind of been all difficult throughout the whole thing. So how do you feel for yourself that you've cultivated that mentality to keep pushing in the fights, keep pushing in training, even though you didn't see the success for so long? What do you have on your mind?
Well, again, this comes back to you have to enjoy it. You have to enjoy the process, the training, everything. You have to enjoy it. But, you know, over my career coming up when I was a bit younger, you know, you see all these people coming up and I've been around for, you know, 5 or 6 years at the time, and these people are coming in having one or two fights and they're getting the big title fights. They're getting all the Instagram posts and all the attention and all the you know, the easy fights, I guess, the easy titles. And, you know, it can be a bit frustrating because I was like, well, fuck, I've been in this, I've had double, triple this guy's fights. Why aren't I getting the title shots? Why aren't I getting paid more? Why aren't I getting these opportunities to go here, go there? And because, you know, these people come and there's a lot of bias and there's a lot of, you know, favoritism in this sport and for bullshit reasons. And then they come and they're getting all this attention, all these opportunities, and that can be quite frustrating. It can get you down a little bit, but then they come and go, they come and go, they come and go. They get things easy and then they just leave and they give up because then they've gotten things too easy and they realize it's actually hard to maintain it. So that's kind of frustrating. I never got, I guess, the favoritism from promoters or for easy fights or for easy title fights. I never got that favoritism. I never got the bias or attention or anything like that. I had to grind everything, you know, but that was something that really frustrated me coming up over the first few years. But the people who get shit easy in this sport don't last very long. That's what I also realized. And that also kept me motivated to keep going. So everything that I had, I didn't get the easy fucking title fight. I didn't get the easy this or that. I had to work. I wanted my world title. It took me 13 years to get it, and I had to fight someone almost 7 foot to get it. And to defend it, I had to fight another guy who's top of the food chain to get my WEC belt. I had to fight some guy with only one loss in his record, been dominating everyone for years. Like, I had to work hard for everything I got in my career. I never got easy shit handed to me like a lot of other fighters out there. But now, looking back, it's a worth it, because now I can have a little brain.
100%. So you were at the Strikeforce gym. Were you always there? Did you start there?
No, so I started at another gym. It was an MMA gym. And there was two sides of the MMA gym. There was an MMA side and a Muay Thai side, and they kind of worked together. And then I got to about 18 or 19, and the gym kind of split and went their own ways. So I kind of moved somewhere else, and I was getting more opportunities in Muay Thai, and I preferred to fight Muay Thai. So I thought, all right, well, I'm going to go to the Muay Thai, and I'm just going to, you know, give Muay Thai everything. So at the time, I enjoyed it more, and there's more opportunities, as I said. And again, that was a different gym. That wasn't Strikeforce. I was about 21, moved to Strikeforce, and was just my other reasons. That gym kind of didn't really have enough big people to spar, big people to train. It was more of like a kid's gym, it turned into in the end. So I moved to Strikeforce, and I've kind of just been all in ever since.
That's with everything. Mark Pease?
That's with Mark, yeah. Mark, Darren, a few of the other boys there.
Can you tell me, with Mark's coaching, I see some of the locker room talks that you guys have before the fights, and you can even sense like the emotionality, you know, just how much energy he's actually putting into his pupil, which is you, and your relationship with him as well. So can you just tell me, with the Strikeforce gym and him in particular, how much do you feel like that gym's done for you, and how much investment do you feel like you've made into that gym?
Oh, look, I definitely haven't put as much investment into the gym as it has into me, because I'm the fighter, and unfortunately you've got to be selfish sometimes. But, you know, Mark has a relationship with his fighters that is second to none. Mark's done a degree in sports psychology and sports coaching, so he knows how to get into a fighter's head, especially because he connects with us not only on a psychological level and a sporting level, but also on a personal level. How's your girlfriend? How's your boyfriend? How's your house? How's the bills? How are your other goals at home? How's your family? And he keeps up to date with everything that's going on in our lives. That way, when we walk into the gym, he can tell us something's off just by looking at us. We don't need to tell him. He knows how to get into each fighter's head individually. So obviously, he's the same. You know, some people need to snap. Some people need to slap, and some people need a hug. You got to know how to do it, who to do it with, at which time to do it with. So he knows how to get into each fighter's head really well. And that's why after so many years, we have such a good connection. So he just, you know, he knows his stuff and he knows exactly what to do. And that's why he gets the results from so many different fighters. You know, we've got myself, Chad Collins, James Honey, Jesse, Jagger. We've got so many high-level fighters because he puts his time equally into everybody and he knows how to work into every person individually. He's not one of those gyms where you've just got one star of the show and they get all the, you know, the attention, the energy. It's not like that. Everyone is equal from beginners and kids right through to teens, advanced and pros.
One thing about the coaching that I want to ask you is that I feel like from your style, we've seen so much different like variety from you. You know, specifically, we see a whole bunch of spinning stuff. You know what I mean? Like you got the spinning back fist, you got the spinning kicks, right? When you fought Guy Coleman, you did the spinning stuff. When you fought Addy, you also did the spinning stuff. So with his coaching in particular, how do you feel like he allows you to try that creative stuff and put that into your style where you have the basics down pat as well?
Well, again, this is where every fighter is different. It's not like where you go to a lot of other gyms and there's one style and everyone has to stick for that. Well, that's not right, because that style, their gym style, might not work for you. Everybody's different, and he adapts his coaching to your style, not just mentally and psychologically, his talking, but also, you know, how he teaches. So for me, he knows I like to jump and spin and flip and fly and do all this crazy shit. And it's not very traditional, even though he's a very traditional, you know, Muay Thai stylist. He knows that's not my style. So he'll try and pull it back and he'll work with me and he'll adapt the spins in occasionally. You know, so again, he'll work with your style and he'll play to your strengths and he'll fix your weaknesses, rather than just being like, no, this is our way, this is how our gym does it, and everyone has to be the same. There's none of that, because that, unfortunately, just doesn't work most of the time.
What did he say to you when you called the guy's coach out in front of everybody in the ring?
He just laughed. Yeah, I think it was unexpected. That was just something that I wanted to say, because it was like 8 weeks earlier, you know, I saw this post online, you know, his coach had put something up saying that, you know, sorry in advance for destroying Australian dreams. And I didn't say anything, but I just walked into the gym that day after seeing it. And my coach was like, you see that fucking post that they put up? I'm like, yeah, I did. I know. Like, yeah, me too. Anyway, and we was never talked about for the whole 8 week fight camp after that. It was never spoken about until we got in the ring. And I'm like, no, I'm going to fucking put this guy on a show. And you know what? This guy, that was the coach. And now the fighter that I knocked out in less than 3 minutes has gotten onto the Uriah Hall post, put a few words up there. So now I've got to put up a post about him calling him out, and that's going to be fucking gold. So you wait till you see that. We got Wiggles, we got fucking doctors, we got me in the spray, we got me and my team, you got his coach, you got his team. It's going to be a great fucking post. It's going to be a great Instagram reel, and it's going to show, don't talk shit. Just don't call shit in general. Don't talk shit before the fight. But especially don't talk shit after you've been knocked out in 148 seconds.
Jaden, are you still doing bodyguard work?
I still do bodyguard, yeah.
What do you think is the craziest shit that you've seen at your time doing bodyguard work?
The craziest shit doesn't really come from the bodyguarding. It comes from, like, I guess the security that I did years ago in, like, pubs and clubs. But I don't really have too much to do with that anymore. So the craziest shit would be the shit that you can't really talk about, right? And when I do bodyguarding, it'll be for maybe an actress or an actor or a sports person or like a director of some company. So everything is 100% confidential. You can't talk about anything. And it's kind of, you know, you're employed to stop shit from happening. So, you're there to stop the crazy shit from happening and to try and get around it before it happens. So a lot of crazy stuff doesn't actually happen too much. And if there is any crazy stuff, obviously I couldn't say.
Jaden, with your fighting career, I saw a video that you put out specifically about conquering fear. And now that you've had this long, extensive career, do you feel like for any fighter that says he can actually conquer fear 100%, do you feel like it's a lie and that the truth is to just accept that you will be scared and that you just do it anyway?
I think everyone's going to be different. You know, I always just say, I don't get nervous before fights. And I don't get scared and all that kind of stuff. But It's a tricky one. I think you're always going to be scared. You're gonna either going to be scared or you're going to be nervous. But yeah, I don't know. I guess you gotta try and get the fuck over it, right? It's kind of the way you think about it. A lot of people go into a sport, like say fighting, and they get scared and they get nervous because they're scared about, losing or doing wrong or anything like that. And they get so worked up and they get so inside the head, but they need to remember there's a reason why you do this sport, because you love it and you enjoy it. But now you're scared, you're nervous, you're getting it all in your head, you're freaking the fuck out. Now you don't enjoy it because it's all about winning to you, and you're scared about winning or losing, all this kind of stuff. And that's where, you start to not enjoy it as much. So I just say, don't think about winning and don't think about losing. Obviously, everything is about winning, everything. But don't think about that. If you focus on winning and the result and the outcome, then you're going to get all inside your head and you're going to start to, that's going to hinder your performance. So instead, just focus on putting on the best performance you can and enjoying it, because that is what's going to bring you the win. But the nerves and the fear is going to be different for everyone. Some people, like me, it keeps me sharp, it keeps me focused, but for some people, it'll hinder their performance in a negative way. So I guess everyone has to go through that journey themselves. They need to experience it firsthand, and they need to learn throughout the career how to deal with it in a way that suits them the best.
Well, to kind of validate what you just said, Lerd Ziller, Muay Thai legend, you know him, he said during his 100-fight win streak, he got a 100-fight win streak,
Well, he's still alive.
he said that during that time, he had never thought about winning or losing, and that the whole time it was all about having fun. And then if you watch his fights, he's fucking dodging, doing fucking crazy shit. So that kind of validates what you said. With that being said, the fear, do you feel like you can reduce it by telling yourself, if you have put the work in, if you know that you've pushed yourself further than you thought you could go, and then you push, and then when the fight comes, do you feel like you can reduce the fear or get rid of it by saying to yourself, look how hard I worked. I'm confident in my ability to win, and because of that, you're no longer worried. Do you feel like people worry because they haven't prepared enough?
Yeah, it's another thing that is talked about a lot, and my coach says, and it's a pretty well-known a quote, confidence or confidence breeds confidence, or confidence breeds confidence, whatever it is. And so the confidence comes from the work that you've put in. If you walk into a fight and you have left no stone unturned, and you have not cut any corners, and you've done the work, and you've pushed yourself, and you've ticked every box twice, and you've done everything, you haven't missed a meal or a calorie or a gram or a kilometer on the road, work running, we haven't missed a strength conditioning session, you haven't missed a rep, you haven't missed a weight, you haven't missed anything, then you go into that fight and you're going to not only feel great physically, you're in the best possible shape of your life, but mentally you've done everything. It's like, well, I've done everything I can now. Let's go out and let's just take the win. Let's just do exactly what I do, and the work will show in the result.
Most of your performances, you've won all the belts and stuff, so we know that you've achieved a lot. But which performance do you feel was the one that you were most worried about or fearful, either for the opponent's skill or that the camp didn't do too well?
Well, yeah, it's a hard question. And I wouldn't really know how to answer it. So which one was I most worried about, are you saying?
Yeah, like during the fight camps, people if they haven't prepared enough and their training has been shit, they get there and they're about to walk out, and you can see that they don't look confident that they're walking out. So I feel like whenever I see your fights, I feel like you're very confident moving out there, and you've got your game plan ready to go. So I'm asking, which fight, seeing that you've had many, which fight do you feel like the opponent worried you because of a specific reason, or the camp didn't go too well because of an injury or something, that you were most worried about when you were walking out?
See, walking out, none. Because when I walk out, my coaches have prepared me, my training has prepared me, everything is done, everything's ready to go, and I'm confident. And it's like you're focused, you're so switched on by that point. I don't care if there's 10 guys there, you're mentally ready to beat them all. So when you're walking out, not so much. Maybe in the change room, maybe like during the fight camp, there's a little bit of that self-doubt, maybe. I wouldn't say I really get any of it, but like if there was one, I'm just trying to think. It's a hard one. It's a
You
hard.
don't have any.
Not well, not really. I take the fight, and I know I kind of just convince myself they're all fucking hard. Like I'm a 3-time world champion. They're all coming for me. Everyone wants these belts. Everyone's got, I've got a price on my head. Everyone wants to fucking fight me. Everyone wants to be in these belts. And everyone that I fight is going to be at the highest level. They're all going to be contenders. They're all going to be current and former world champions. They're all going to be hungry killers that have been training for 10 years. So I kind of know mentally, and I'm like, well, but there isn't, every fight's kind of just the same. Like I know they're all going to be good. And to be honest, there's not really one fight in particular. Obviously, with the Gerardo Addy fight, he'd only have his one loss on his record, and it was, he'd just been destroying people. He had the belt for a couple of years. But even that fight, like, that was a thought in my head, I guess. It's like, well, this guy's got a good record. But at the same time, like, I went to the weigh-in, and I saw I was much bigger than him in the first 20 or 30 seconds of my fight. Went out and clinched, and I swept him. There was no technique to it all. It was just power. I was bigger than him. I was physically stronger. I was checking his kicks. I was countering back. So that kind of just went out the window because it gave me confidence. So yeah, not really any fight that I was too worried about more than the other. They all, I guess, they worry you in a slight way because everyone you're fighting in this level is going to be pretty good.
It's been interesting, me viewing your career and watching all the old fights back now for this podcast. And you said that when you were 13, that you were a really emotional kid, really angry kid. And now it's such a stark difference because you're competent, you can control your emotions. So when do you feel like that started to occur? Was it the training? Was it Strikeforce? Where was it? What do you think happened where it was clicking for you that you had this progress?
I don't know when it clicked for me, really, but as a 13-year-old kid, I was a young, angry kid getting in trouble in school and doing silly stuff and had no direction, had built up anger. And obviously, when you're 13, you start to get hit puberty, get your testosterone, you don't really know how to handle that, and you get emotional, you get angry, you get sad, with this and that. And I
You
did
had a
this.
great haircut.
I did exactly the same haircut as I've got now, but I didn't really know how to an hour left for that anger and aggression. So I started martial arts at 13, 14, training pretty hard, seeing some progress. And I guess basically within a year of me starting training, I was a straight A student, had a full-time job, had an apprenticeship, was doing really well in it, and I was doing competitions and all that kind of stuff in martial arts. And I guess that's where it sort of came in when I realized when I start to see progress and I start to get a few achievements, that made me proud of myself. And you kind of that way, you start to feel a bit more happy with yourself and a bit more fulfilled, and that anger kind of goes away.
With that fulfillment, with that discipline, do you feel like people overthink discipline? Because a lot of people, they're constantly saying, oh, I'll do this, I'll do this, I'll do this, but it never happens. It's that analysis paralysis.
It's not even paralysis, and it's not even like it's nothing. When people will say discipline, they don't ever think, and it's not complicated. They're just fucking lazy. Like, I don't know if I'm allowed to swear on this podcast, but it's like, whatever.
Yeah, fuck it, mate. We're Australian. This is the Anything Combat podcast, mate. You're allowed to say cunt on here.
Anything fucking goes. Well, at the end of the day, all these people will talk about motivation and inspiration and discipline, all this bullshit, but then they never actually get anywhere. It's like you see all these people with New Year's goals already, and they don't get anywhere. It's not because they're overcomplicating it or overthinking it. It's because they're just simply fucking lazy. Like, nobody wants to do the work. Yeah, I'm doing this new diet. I'm starting this training. I want to lose weight. I want to gain weight. I want to become a millionaire. I want to grow this. And they see them at the end of the year, and they're still in the same fucking place as they were at New Year's Eve last year. It's because they've got no detailed plan to get there. They've got no work ethic. They've got no drive. They're happy and content where they are. They're like, yeah, sweet. Well, they're just happy in the 9 to 5, working this job that they hate for somebody they hate, with coworkers they hate, to pay bills that they hate, and then come home to wife that probably hates fucking them because they spend so much time at that job that they fucking hate. And it's a circle that goes around and around and around, and they go out on the weekend, they fucking put shit up their nose, and they drink alcohol, and they eat shit food, and back to work on a Monday to start the whole cycle again. And they do that for 40 years, and they're miserable as fuck. They might think that they're happy, but they're not. So you need to have some achievements. You need to have some kind of goals that you want to reach, and that'll give you a bit more pride and a bit more fulfillment, and you'll be a little bit more happy then.
So, with that meaning, that search for meaning in your life, you definitely found that meaning through fighting. So, do you feel like you found that meaning in your life now?
I guess I know that's my purpose, but I wouldn't like, yeah, I guess I found my meaning and I found my purpose, but it's not something, it's not a one-off purchase, right? It's rent that's due every day, every week, every month, every year. It's not something that just comes and then it just lasts forever. It's something you have to keep pursuing. And obviously you can only fight for so long, you know, 30, 35, and then you got to chase something else. Okay, well, I'm retired from fighting. What do I want to do now? Do I want to do business? Do I want to do coaching? Do I want to do fucking gardening? I don't know. But you always have to have something. And some people, it's going to be different for everyone. I was just fortunate enough that I found exactly what I wanted to do very, very young. Some people, unfortunately, don't figure out until they're 40, 50. Some people don't even figure out ever. But if you are a young person, you watch this, I would always suggest figure out exactly what you want to do. Don't rush it, but try and be quick about it, because the longer you wait, the longer it's going to delay your progress. So I think everyone needs a purpose in life, whether it's your work, whether it's your hobby, whatever. But everybody needs something to kind of chase and give them that fulfillment, because fulfillment and achievement is what life's all about. It's not just about paying the bills 9 to 5 and spending 10 minutes watching TV with your missus or with your kids at the end of the day and then fucking falling asleep, waking up and doing it all again. Like for me, I never wanted to stock shelves, push trolleys, clean toilets, work on a fucking job site with bad posture and bad back, lifting shit in the blazing sun. I never wanted to do that. Not that there's anything wrong with it, but for, you know, some people just, they want to have a fulfilled life and do the things that they actually enjoy. And some people are willing to go out and get that with hard work and effort. Some people aren't.
Jaden, one thing that I figured out is that now that I'm a little bit older, I figured out.
How old are you?
No, I'm 21.
21. A little bit older. The fuck are you talking about? A little bit older.
I still feel young. So basically, I found out that nobody actually wants the best for you. Most people might say they do, but they don't want you to win. They don't want you to be better than them. They don't want you to have all these fucking achievements. And fighting's a little bit of an interesting sport because the fans are very vicious. You know, if you lose one fight and you've on a 30-fight win streak, just off the top of my head, Henan Barao, he won 32 fights in MMA in a row, lost to TJ Dillashaw. Everybody says he's bad now, yeah. Right? So with that being said, you know, your coach and coaching is a different dynamic because all the fans don't want the best for you. The coach wants the best for you. So how do you deal with that during fighting, all the fans turn on a dime and also the people around you are going to try and stop you from doing such a difficult task and stop you from achieving those goals because it's a hard sport. It's a vicious sport that is unrelenting.
They flip because these people, these fans, supporters, whatever, they got memories like goldfish, right? They don't fucking, they got the shiny object syndrome, right? So while you're winning, everyone wants to talk to you. Everyone wants to be your friend. Every girl wants to go out with you. Everyone's messaging. They want to sponsor you. They want to hang out with you. They want to pretend that you're a friend. And as soon as you lose, that's over. They don't want to bother you anymore. So it's like, obviously, I was on Married at First Sight 6 months ago, right? They've got goldfish memories. Everyone wants to be your friend. Now, that finished airing 6 months ago. Since then, there's been The Bachelor, Big Brother. You know, there's a new Married at First Sight, then there's fucking Love Island. People have got goldfish memory, and they look at me, where do I know you from? Where do I know you from? Are you from Love Island? They've got goldfish memories. People can't even fucking remember because they're straight away, that finishes, they're on the next thing. It's like when you're winning, they love you. As soon as that finishes, boom, they're on. They forget about you. They're on to the next shiny object, whoever else is winning. And then when you win again, then they want to come back to you. That's the thing. And that kind of when you have your losses, you can see who the real people are around you and who's actually there for you throughout everything. But like for me, when it comes to fans online, all that kind of stuff, you see with all the trolling that's going on at the moment, like I'm a 6'2" Muay Thai kickboxing world champion knockout artist that travels the world for free. You think I give a flying fuck about what this guy says about me? Oh, Jaden's an idiot. Well, this guy probably hasn't seen his fucking dick in 5 months because he's so fucking overweight. You know, like, all these guys getting online trying to talk shit. It's like, well, have a look at them. Compare their life to where I am. The only reason they're talking shit is because they're jealous. I'm where they want to be, and they can't get to that because they're lazy. They don't have the work ethic. They don't have the network. They don't have the discipline or consistency or anything that's needed to get them to where they want to be. So it comes out of jealousy and it comes out of envy. So when it comes to haters and all that kind of stuff and the fans, I don't give a fuck. I have my circle. It is a very small, tight circle. Nobody gets in, nobody gets out. And anyone outside of that, I don't give a fuck what they say. These haters, they're bringing me money. They're giving me attention. And with the algorithm on social media at the moment, with people commenting hate comments, Instagram doesn't know the difference between a hate comment and a fan comment. It just knows, okay, somebody's commenting on this. Let's give it to more people to see, which helps me, brings me more money. When people send it to other people, that's all analytics. That all helps the algorithm when they're sending. Even if they're sending it to their friends saying, look at this fucking dickhead, doesn't matter. It's still, Instagram doesn't know. It just says, okay, well, people sending it to each other, they must like it. Let's send it out to more. Again, bringing more me more views, bringing me more sales and more money. So I just don't give a fuck. I know who I am. I know what I do. And it just gives me more content. Like my fighter, one of my opponents, who I knocked out in fucking 2 minutes, 3 minutes. He hated my comment. Now I've got fucking five other video ideas that I can post, making him look like an idiot. Like, it helps you, if anything. And it's one of those things that you start to get at the top, and people are always like, oh, you know, if you don't have haters, then you're not doing well enough. Well, I've actually started to learn that, and it's true. So I have a lot of fans. I have a lot of them, all in my inboxes, all in my comment section, and I've got a few haters as well, quite a lot. But at the end of the day, I don't give a fuck what people think. They all help me, and they're all either fans or they're jealous. Like, it just does not bother me. So how do I deal with it, to answer your question? When I have a little bit of attempts, and then I don't. I just keep doing my fucking thing, progressing and doing as best as I can, and they're all just watching, and I don't give a fuck. I love it.
Jaden, it's been a pleasure. That's all we have time for, ladies and gentlemen. Is there any final remarks you want to say to the people listening to the podcast right now? Jaden, what do you have to say to them?
Well, fuck, I don't really know. I think we covered everything. But if you want something, you have to fucking go after it. Like, there's no easy way around it. This day and age, people looking for shortcuts, they don't fucking work. There is no shortcut. Go out there, work your ass off, or have fun being fucking average.
Follow Jaden on Instagram, link in the description, and follow Anything Combat. We will see you all next time.
Legend boys, have a good one.
I'm coming for the kill.